Hello? Is this on? Okay. Good evening. My name is Susan Zaleschuk. I'm the Assistant Community Development Director, and I'd like to welcome all of you to the City of Grover Beach Joint Planning Commission City Council Circulation Element Update Workshop. And before we start, I'd like to take a brief roll call and introduce a few folks in the audience, and then I'm going to give it to our transportation consultants. First, I'd like to recognize we have Councilman Steve Lieberman. Stand up. Say hello. Councilman Dave Eckbaum.
He can do as we're told.
There you go. Councilman John Scholes.
About to follow suit, huh?
And Planning Commissioner Arlene Versaw. Great. And we also have a few staff in the audience, and thank you, public, for showing up. This is the first workshop on the circulation element, and just for those of you who are not sure what a circulation element is, it's one of the seven required elements of our city's general plan, which are the planning documents that guide how we'll develop in the future. Circulation looks at, evaluates and studies and plans for how we move in the city with all modes of transportation, our transportation corridors, planning for it, along that line. And I think with that, I'd like to introduce our transportation consultants. We have hired OmniMeans Consulting Group. We have Marty Inouye and Ravi Narayanan.
Thank you, Susan. Just thank you all for the opportunity to be here. I have the opportunity to provide similar services in many different communities, and I've always enjoyed not only coming to Grover Beach, but I always enjoy your beach over here because it's something that I love. I love to run, and I run out on your beach. But it's a pleasure to be here. And what I'd like to do is introduce the update to your circulation element process. This is a very first step of where. In what we're going to be going through. So, company, and here with me today is Ravi Narayanan, and he is my confidant in terms of traffic modeling, and Gary is not here, but Ravi's here helping me survey the city to actually create the traffic model that we'll be developing for the city. Again, I indicated that we've worked with many different communities, including your adjacent community of Arroyo Grande, Pismo Beach, Paso Robles, Atascadero, a number of other communities. So we've had an opportunity to be familiar with your travel patterns here within the Central Coast area, which is unique in the sense that you have seasons. You have low season, and you have summer season when people are coming to enjoy the assets of your community in terms of the weather and the coast. Things that are very important to this process is good. Starting out with good communication. I could say, well, we got to do this technical stuff. But if you don't understand what we're doing, how your current circulation system is operating, and what happens when your community continues to grow with new development, and what happens to your roads in terms of need for widening or need for new roads or whether from our professional opinion that they're okay. We need to communicate that well to you. And that's kind of one direction. But the other direction that we have to have is, you know, we are still outsiders. You live in this community. And that's one of the major reasons why we're here is to hear what your concerns are at this early stage so we make sure that we hit all the hot issues from a transportation standpoint in your community. The other key components of what we're trying to do is when we look at circulation options, we're going to be developing a citywide traffic model. And you need to understand what that model is, that it needs to be believable. And we'll talk about how we first simulate traffic and then project future traffic conditions with the build-out of your community. And then as we look at solutions to solve some of the traffic congestion problems that you might have in your community, find common sense planning solutions. And then lastly, this is not going to be a drawn-out process where we lose momentum. We need to set a pace. And now we've gathered a lot of information. We've prepared a background report already in terms of existing count information. Now we're going to take your input. Now we're ready to sit down, develop the model, and look at alternatives for improvements to your circulation system, and then incorporate them into a policy document, which is a part of your general plan, which is called the circulation element. Again, just in a nutshell, this is the process. We've had several meetings already with city staff. This is the public workshop, and where we're going to be entering into this process and following through with the Planning Commission and City Council of presenting this information. So we've been in a data collection mode at this stage of just raw data of traffic counts, land use information, everything that we need to drive the traffic model, and then also to, we don't have food here, believable traffic model. What I'd like to do is have Ravi just briefly go through what that modeling process is, and then we'll get into what we think are the key issues and solutions that we'd like your feedback on.
Ravi. Thank you, Marty. I'm Ravi Narayanan, and I'm with Omni Means Engineers and Planners. I'm working with Marty and Susan in helping your community with the circulation element update process. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about the aspects of the traffic model development that is very inherent to the process of your circulation element update. And we are in the process of putting together a citywide traffic model using a transportation planning software package called TransCAD that has been developed out of the Boston area on the East Coast. And it's a fairly sophisticated piece of software, and we are going to create a model that's compatible with the regional model that SLOCOG is in the process of creating for you. And the model it'll be a geographic information system. What that means is basically a land use and traffic representation based on the actual geographic features that comprise your entire community. And we will be using census data from U.S. Census 2000 also in putting together the land use data and the street system to represent your community in a computerized manner. So the traffic model is basically a computerized entity that we will use to simulate your traffic flows and patterns through your community for current conditions, as well as use that as a basis for projecting future traffic with the full build-out of your general plan. So this is the planning area map, and it's a representation of your street system, and it shows the hierarchy of your streets and your planning area boundaries and how your city is nested within a larger community within the five cities area that's contiguous with the Arroyo Grande to the east and Pismo Beach to the north. So what we have done so far is to conduct collect an inventory of traffic counts within your community. We have collected daily traffic counts at approximately well over 20 locations within your community, and we have supplemented that with counts from the state, from Caltrans, traffic counts on State Route 1 as well as US 101. And what we have also completed at this time is a quantification of traffic operations on your street system as they exist today. Like we looked at, we use what we call a level of service grading scale. What level of service is really a qualitative measure of traffic operating conditions in your community, and that's based on a lot of transportation research-based methodologies. And like you can see, most of your street system is currently operating at level of service A, which means free flow, lack of congestion. So currently, a majority of your street system hardly experiences any traffic congestion. There's only one segment in here that shows a level of service C, which is moderate level of congestion, which is still considered acceptable. So most communities consider level of service C and above as being acceptable on a daily street system. It has it shows US 101 in bright red, and then it shows State Route 1 in blue. So these are your clear high capacity streets that within your community, and then you have Grand Avenue. And then what we do is using the information that we generate out of the model under existing as well as the future conditions, we try to project out a phasing schedule for implementing the improvements, like when are improvements needed on a calendar scale. And this is an example we have put together for the city of Paso Robles like 2 years ago. So, and with that, I'll turn it over to Maury.
Thank you, Ravi. Sure. Councilman Scholes?
Could you maybe go into level of service a little more? I know you talked about levels
right.
A and C, and so maybe the range.
Right. Levels of service are similar to, like, school grades. And so level A and B are more than acceptable in terms of excellent. C is passing. That's and then D is barely passing. And E and F is when you're is failing. And that's exactly the way traffic is. When flows are good, you should be seeing you can get through, for example, a signalized intersection, you know, on a regular basis. When the cycle comes up for you and the green ball comes up and you can get through that intersection. When it gets to level of service D, you may not, in fact, when the green ball comes up and you're at the back of the line and you can't get to the front of the line before it turns red, that's when, and it's sometimes you can get through, sometimes you can't. That's barely passing, and if you get through, that's level of service D. If you consistently not get through the signalized intersection, and this is just by way of example, we look at it on a daily basis as well as on a peak hour basis during commute hours, like between, you know, 7 and 8 in the morning and 5 and 6 in the evening. If those are problem times and you can't get through the intersection, then that's when you have, and you know it, traffic congestion, and that's when levels of service are considered E and F. Level service E is the exact relationship from a quantitative standpoint of when the volume on that road equals the capacity. Level service E is one point where that volume equals the capacity of that intersection. Level service F is when that volume exceeds the capacity of that road or that intersection. And that's how we quantify things. Yes, sir?
Can you have the microphone?
Oh.
Good evening, Steve Lieberman. I'm on the council. Ravi, you had mentioned some assumptions in your model. And I was wondering what type of accounting you take into the modeling on a street like Oak Park. There's basically a pass-through into our community, but there's a lot of volume that comes from Highway 101, and it's used by Oceano residents to travel home. And I'm wondering, when you're talking about build-out for Grover Beach, are you considering build-out for the other communities as well?
Yeah, one of the things that we'll be looking at, and Rob, if you don't mind my answering the question, is within the city, and what I'll do is I'll go back your primary entrances from Grand Avenue, from Forest Street, from Oak Park, that are heading through, and certainly Highway 1, of what is coming through your city. And we're monitoring that, and that's what's so important about working not only as developing a citywide traffic model. We actually at one point back in the early 90s developed a South County model that actually evaluated the growth in the whole South County area. The SLOCOG, the regional planning agency for this area, is developing a regional model that is also going to be projecting traffic in your adjacent communities. And we will be coordinating with their efforts to look at what type of growth might be occurring in Pismo Beach and in Arroyo Grande and down off in Oceano that are coming through, and we'll provide estimates of what that through traffic through your community is. Down Grand Avenue, down 4th Street, down Oak Park that are coming through your community. So we'll be evaluating not only the traffic that's coming from within your community and interacting, that's the internal travel, but we're also going to be evaluating the through travel and also the travel that's coming from outside into your area and also from in your area leaving your community as well. So all those pieces of how traffic moves through your community will be included in this traffic model. I will try to go I invite these questions. This is a public workshop, so if you have questions as we go through this, councilman and anybody else in the public, feel free to raise your hand. We'll share mics and we'll go through this because I really want you to understand where we're going. Once we have the traffic model, and also as we've been spending time in your community, driving your street systems and trying to understand what your traffic flow is, we are looking and evaluating the streets to identify what your whole transportation system is, and trying to identify what your major circulation system is. Where should the traffic be on your streets? And then where shouldn't it be? And if they're in the neighborhoods and they shouldn't be there, what can we do to discourage the use of neighborhood streets for traffic circulation, for through traffic flow, and put it on the major streets? And that's going to be, and so there, quite frankly, there's going to be people that are going to receive more traffic on their street and some, but what we're trying to do is create a community, and that's why it's a public process. We need your input to say, okay, how do we best create community in here? Do we want to concentrate our traffic on your major circulating streets, that certainly Grand Avenue and Highway 1 and things like that, but what about some of the other major connecting streets like Oak Park, where there are homes fronting on that, or on 4th Street, where there are homes fronting on it? Is that where we want our traffic? And those are the kinds of things that we're going to be discussing.
The exact limits, but it's something between 8th and 11th or thereabouts. I'd like you to speak, if you would, on the concept of maximizing flow on major streets for the purposes of circulation and minimizing flow on the same major street for the purpose of traffic calming, and how that's all going to fit together.
That's why we're here. The update of the circulation element is going to be addressing how to sort out what are the major streets, and one of the bits of information that we hope to provide is the volume of traffic. What happens in terms of the traffic that we can anticipate on these roads? What can be handled on a two-lane arterial with parking, or what has to be four lanes or six lanes or something like that? And I'm not suggesting there's any need for six lanes on your road on your major arterials. But the point is what we're trying to do is provide a database of background information, and an analytical analysis of what is. If you want to increase the use of this road for traffic circulation, this is what the consequences. This is what you need. If you want to discourage traffic on that major circulating road like Grand Avenue, well, where is that traffic going to go? Because see, the demand for travel isn't going to go away. So it's going to go someplace else. If the volume of water is starting out and it's going to go through these different routes, if you have one big flow and you constrict the others, then it'll go down that one corridor. If you constrict that major corridor, that major throat where all that volume could go down, then it's going to go elsewhere, okay, because there's that demand. People still have to get home. People still have to go to work. Still, people need to go shopping. They need to do all these things, and there's other people that want to enjoy your community as well. So those are the things that we're going to be evaluating. You say, this is what happens if you do this. This is what happens as you do that. And you know what? As a consultant, I don't know what the proper answer is, but I can tell you what happens if the decision makers of your community make a specific decision. This is what probably the implications are. And we'll help the decision makers of your community, your planning commission, your city council, make those decisions based on a basis of good information.
I'd like to just add that some of the factors that affect transportation and circulation are directly linked to land uses. And so part of their inputs into their model, well, most of their inputs besides actual counts are from our zoning and land use maps that identify certain levels of intensity and certain types of development that generate certain amounts of traffic. And in addition to that, which isn't really part of this transportation study right now, but part of the answer to Thor's question has to do with different goals. Streets are vital links to move goods, services, and people, as Marty was discussing. On Grand Avenue, and perhaps some others can elaborate on this issue, the capacity of...
Specific. Can you see any consistency between the concept of slowing down traffic on a major street and the concept of increasing traffic flow on that street? Is there any way to have your cake and eat it, too, that you were aware of based on your experience as a professional, not necessarily the circumstances that exist anywhere in the city? Can you, at the same time, calm the traffic on a piece of street and at that same time increase or develop its traffic flow as a major artery? Is that a conceivable? Of course, I believe there's a conflict here, but I'd like to hear your professional opinion on this.
In response to, may I call you Thor? I can't remember your okay. Question. You know, we have as transportation planners and traffic engineers, we have tools, signalization at intersections, to stop signs, to many different things, and I would agree with Thor that. If you want to get traffic through a major roadway, you know, you want to encourage quick, efficient movement through that area. If your goals are to have the slow the traffic down so people can actually, Susan made the comment about, you know, shopping along Grand Avenue, be customers of the commercial establishment, which kind of slows and so you can, so there, it's more attractive to people that are interested in being in the commercial and along Grand Avenue to enjoy that shopping opportunity. There's opportunity there. The issue is, well, is it a through traffic road and what you're trying to promote, and then the capacity of what you have for that road. So in terms of trying to be specific, the answer that of what you can achieve is you can still provide the capacity for high volume, be it Grand Avenue or any other street, but still provide the travel speed and character that allows people to go out and shop. And that's done by how you time the signals. I mean, so you can travel down, you can have the capacity of four lanes, but you can't travel necessarily fast on that road if the community decides, saying, hey, I don't want you to go faster than, and we time major roads on another Central Valley city, since we're not going to talk about, this is any town USA, so they're 28 miles per hour. Well, you can't go faster than that. And the reason that we do that, now, it carries a large volume of traffic and may frustrate people that want to get through the town, but I don't think, you know, maybe Grover Beach is saying, hey, I know we have to provide capacity for a large volume of traffic, but we don't want everybody to come through our community at 50 miles an hour and travel down, you know, whatever our street is at that high speed, because our primary goal is to be a circulator of through traffic, through a constant, and people learn how to travel through communities when signals are properly timed and coordinated. We have our tools and our secrets of how we can manage traffic flow in communities. It's not just projections and traffic models. It's also different type of operational models that we can control the speed of travel through your community that's conducive to carrying the necessary volume so you have acceptable levels of service, but also that it's within a character of what you're trying to create in a community, whether it be here or anyplace else. I'm going to take a couple more questions, then I'm going to work through my presentation, then I'll take more questions after that.
I'm sorry, but it just comes up at this time. Bob Reed, Grover's Traffic Committee. Along the same line you're talking about, what would happen? Grand Avenue presently has a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit with the signal set at 35 miles an hour. What would happen if you left the speed limit at 35 miles an hour and set the signal to 25 miles an hour? That's one question. I'll get a both of you guys quick. In the circulation element, I'm assuming you're going to separately look at truck routes and commercial traffic. Am I correct in that?
Okay, I'm going to answer the second question first, which is truck routes. Yes, we're going to be looking at truck routes and commercial circulation. We do have to deal with the prevailing speed and radar surveys and things like that. But what we're trying to do is create a community response, and it's part of. So if we can come up with a plan of how we want to create a downtown area along Grand Avenue, then we can work towards that plan. It's a specific goal for a downtown plan, and we can work within that. So we're not necessarily dealing with current prevailing speeds. Eventually, once the character, if we have bulb outs and similar to what you've already started doing to different treatments, center median treatments that you're considering, those kinds of things will start changing the character of the road. And we can work with those things that'll start defining the travel speed that we want to have on that street that still can carry the traffic volume that it may need to, but it'll be different than what might be currently observed for prevailing speed based on radar. So those are the things that we'll have to work through, but those are good points that you raise. I think as we had input from the community, we got into some of the issues of the redevelopment of some of your industrial areas. How do you get truck access in and out? Because the contiguous nature of current residential development next to your industrial areas. There's a transformation. I understand housing prices are rising, and there's a lot of investment in expanding and building and enlarging existing homes. The other issue that we spent a lot of time, I drove around with Susan, took us on a tour of just how wide your streets are. And, in terms of, what is that conducive of? Well, higher speed on the 9th Street closure and in your transit and park facility and things like that. What are the other opportunities? And certainly, your community, you do have rolling hills. There's not excessive hills. I'm not going to say you're flat, but you do have flat areas. That there's opportunity for non-motorized transportation. There's opportunity for students, for commuters to ride bikes without having to have heart attacks going up and down hills and things like that. Oh, Thor's question, issue. Grand Avenue, local circulator or regional arterial. I mean, those are the issues that we're going to be working through, and we've identified that. Are you a through access to the beach, and that's all you want to be? Is you just want to be, the direct, most direct connection between the state beach and 101? I don't think so. What kind of commercial theme and expansion? See, you were just ahead of me in my presentation. Same thing. Highway 1, opportunity or barrier? I was at this. I think you know where I am. If I'm sitting right there at that intersection, and there's that. This is Highway 1, and just the sight distance and some issues. This is one of your gateways into Grover Beach from Highway 1. You certainly have Grand Avenue, but this is another one. And the railroad track issue. 101, 4th Street, Oak Park, and Grand Avenue. What are, again, this is, you're at the top of the hill, and it's a commute route. There's homes fronting on both sides. What are you looking for? How do we get access, minimize impact to communities, and you know, what is the best of both worlds? And I don't know, it's going to be a compromise and it's going to be a balance. Yes, ma'am.
One street you don't have up there is 12th Street, and it's a very well-used street. I don't go clear down to Oak Park, and I don't want to get off on 4th, but I can get off and come into our area off 12th Street, so I think it's one that needs to be looked at.
Okay, thank you for your comment. And we will include 12th Street in terms of access into your area. Some of the in planning vernacular, smart growth is kind of big. Well, nobody wanted to do dumb growth anyway. But planners have figured out the smart growth principles, and we'll be looking at alternative street standards, level of service thresholds, questions that have been raised about setting level of service. And level of service is, what do you want? And you say, oh, I want the best level of service I can get, but you have to add at what cost. And so those are the kinds of things that we're going to be looking at as your community expands. Are we going to have level of service issues that are going to have significant dollar differentials between level of service C and level of service D? We need to sort that out. And we'll be able to provide that information. This is what you get. If you want level of service C, this is how much it's going
to
cost.
And most of them were shown to be level of service A with a few B and one C, are based on national standards and turning movements and congestion patterns, but that perhaps there's local, more qualitative issues that our residents might be concerned with, in that even though we have certain residential streets that are very large and could handle probably the intensity of Santa Monica development,
right,
they may not want that. So that's something we need to identify as far as inputs to this process. If there's streets that technically on paper have an adequate level of service, if you want to make changes or affect those conditions in the future, we do need to hear that.
Thank you, Susan.
Sir, when will the public be having this information, this data that you have of a level of service? You went through it real fast, but there's no way we can read the print or look at it. And if you want the public to provide their input, they need to know what the level of service on 12th Street is right now, so that they can add that. So are there going to be packets available or something for the public to look at the data that you've
Yeah, I think what we'll do is, we already created a first working paper that has it's a background report that has a lot of the information that you have. What we'll do is we'll start adding some of this other information, and in fact we can add this presentation to let us work with staff to figure out how to get an information packet that can. You know, identify a lot of this information to you. Our next step, and we'll be talking about schedule, is we'll be coming up with a second working paper, and then we'll be back before the Planning Commission and presenting the information. That will be a more complete packet of information, not just existing traffic count data and characteristics of your road systems and some of the more mundane things. I think it'll have more of some of the concepts and alternative solutions that we're continuing to present this evening as to what we're going to be looking at in terms of some of the options. And so while we'll lay these things out, again, we're not here to tell you exactly what to do, but lay out some alternatives and see, you know, where the Planning Commission, City Council want to go in terms of what the character of community that you want to have in, and again, this is not an urban design process, this is a circulation element update process as to how we can use the circulation element with your current land use plan to meet your circulation needs, that identifies a capital improvement program that says, okay, in order to provide adequate capacity to achieve the desired circulation goals of level service for your community, these are the things you need to do. And we'll lay all those things out, and we'll lay all the policies out relative to that. And then after that, you know, I understand that this may be a prior step to maybe looking at your land use element as well. So we can provide the information to be more specific in terms of your response, we're anticipating getting through this process by the end of the year or just shortly after the first year. So the information that I think would be helpful should be coming out within the next 6 to 8 weeks of not only this information, but expanded, more specific information to your community so you understand it. And then there will be a period of time that the community can digest it. And then when we start meeting before the Planning Commission, we'll make sure, we'll work out a schedule, and I commit this to staff, that we'll work out a schedule that we'll get the technical information that we can review back and forth where they're satisfied for public distribution early enough that there can be review time by not only the Council, Planning Commission, but also the public prior to the meetings that we have. Prior to the formal adoption of the update to the circulation element, there actually will have to be an environmental document.
Ron DeCarli. Marty, you had mentioned Grover Beach has very wide streets. You also mentioned level of service is A, which is superb. And then you identified alternative road standards. Can you clarify a little bit what you were referring to with alternative road standards and what that might mean to this study?
In terms of roadways, to serve neighborhoods, I believe your streets are 60 feet wide, and they're wide streets. 70? Oh, I'm sorry. Even wider than wide, 70 feet. And you don't need that much street width to have the capacity to handle a volume of traffic. Typically, you can go down to under 50 feet. There's, to handle the same volume of traffic on a narrower street. And so what we're looking at is saying, okay, what are the options? What do you do with that land that's already been absorbed as a street? But what kind of change in character within the community can you create by adding some of these elements? And I'm getting to traffic circles and some other thoughts about how to deal with wide streets that will not necessarily change the level of service from a capacity standpoint. And Susan shared with you saying, hey, wait a minute, it's saying all level service A. That is based on the capacity of the roadway to handle from an engineering standpoint, but there's a community capacity or a neighborhood capacity that's much different. And so we're going to be looking at those thresholds as well in terms of what we're saying, not only from an engineering level of service, but from a community level of service. What levels of volume do you want to have on certain streets? So we'll be looking at that in a much more in-depth way in your community, because your community is you have lots of options with your what we call a grid system, where there's lots of parallel streets, both in the north, south, and east, west direction. There's opportunity to select a lot of different streets and use those streets in different ways. And maybe we want to, again, discourage a lot of use of all the streets and more, maybe focus it. And the way how do you do that is you may look at some of these other options for an alternative street standard, where you're looking at traffic circles. If you don't mind, I'm going to finish up, and then I'm going to give you the mic after. Unless
my
you.
My wish is very simple: just to post any documents to the web.
Yeah,
that's
all. Okay. The comment was, can you post these documents to the web? And we certainly can do that. We can attach the presentation to the web. I didn't talk about this. Again, in terms of neighborhood opportunities with your wide streets that are upwards of 70 feet, what about at major intersections looking at some traffic circles that make the street a little less more discontinuous, your circulation? Now, what we're trying to do is say these are the concepts that can be employed in a manner that can change the character of your community and enhance your community in terms of character. And you can look at different types of closures, diagonal closures, actually physical closures in the street at intersections. different types of things that we, or you can selectively discourage certain movements, like it, you know, if you want to make one-way streets. And I don't think we're interested in talking about one-way streets here. I'm just saying that that's one of the examples. But, you know, it's mainly looking at potential diagonal closures or some other type of intersection treatment if you want to direct the flow and make it a little bit more difficult. You know, you're not saying, no, you can't go this way. But you know what? If you want to go all the way through your community, use this other road. Because if you go down this road, you got to turn right and go down a block. And then you got to turn left and go down a block and turn right again to get to that same place. And you may change your route selection based on that kind of thing. I mentioned set strong pace to completion. We've been gearing up for this, and it's the end of August, and we're looking at the end of the year. We're going through a process now. We're trying to work on this traffic model, get it up, and we want to be back to you in six to eight weeks and with more information that's just not, and so your input through your website, through other comments. We're taking notes tonight on your input. We want to have that input because we're going to be coming back to you in about a 6 to 8 week time frame, start the environmental document process, be before the Planning Commission and City Council. If the process, because the decision-making process is longer, the decision-making process is longer. But we hope to have the update documents to you towards the end of the calendar year so you can start making decisions. If this decision goes smoothly or is short, then we're done. If it goes a little bit longer, we're not trying to dictate that process. It's a difficult community decision in terms of what we're looking at, and we want to make sure that there's adequate time, and we'll be here to follow through with that process with you. With that, I'd like to entertain more questions and get your input.
I'm John Awaisong. I'm a short. I've just been here a week or so, but that's a lie. I've been following a baseball team through Southern California, and I could really help you solve a lot of problems. And I've tried that in the last 50 years here. But it doesn't work because doctors, lawyers, merchant chiefs know more than I do. So in following these boys all the way to San Diego, to the border, there's small towns down there, yet it's 1.2 million people. And you know, the way they solve their problems, and you don't even have to go down there. Go to Santa Barbara. Go down State Street. You're not going to speed. Go to the stop sign, stoplight, all the way through there. And that's all they need here, down there in San Diego. Oak Park reminds me of I-8, I-5, 8 over here. When I came here, there was only 1,000 people. And we didn't have a traffic problem. But I saw it coming, and I kept talking about it, and yet I only had a one-room school, three R's, but nobody heard me. And so now then, we got a problem, and they don't know how to fix it. I'll tell you how to fix it. Stop signs, stop lights. And it works really good.
I was wondering if you could talk to us about when we would start to give input with regard to the notion of truck routes, because that's something that's near and dear to the hearts of those of us who live down by the beach.
We're here to receive that input tonight. If you have both, if you care to share, I can go back to the map of where the roads are that you're specifically concerned with. Or after the meeting, if you want to do that and share your concerns, and certainly in writing, you know, to the city, I'll give you a card. We want to know where what your concerns are, and then we can address that.
Well, I'm sure that probably Susan took you on a tour of our neck of the woods down by Beckett and Front Street, which is going to be host to a new industrial park down there. And, you know, clearly the concerns that we have will be the access through the residences, you know, off 4th is a point which you've already identified as one of the major arteries in. And unfortunately, since you've also probably found that, you know, the railroads won't let us cut across their tracks to get down to Highway 1 any more than we've already done, that exit traffic appears to be headed back through the residential streets. One of the concerns that we have, of course, is traffic through of that nature through the residences. The other, of course, is that the tarmac in that area, you know, is not that thick, and we've just resurfaced some of the streets, and our concern is that with that kind of heavy commercial traffic, if that's what happens, we'll chew that up pretty quickly. So I guess the thing is, you know, I noticed that you had one remedy that was up on your display of an island that went all the way through the intersections. And so another issue, I guess, that comes before you guys, bless your heart, it's been a long day, is, you know, the idea of if we were to propose an island that would essentially split the industrial residential area, how would emergency vehicles get in and out of that area, and the viability of that, and again, the sheer cost of something like that. So is that, this is something that will be an ongoing dialogue through each of the meetings, and we can write to you and communicate in that fashion?
Yes, absolutely. It's a process that we'll be looking at in terms of looking at truck route designations, what it does in terms of impacting neighborhoods. We'll be looking at TIs of we can in terms of what the residential streets were designed to carry. I don't know what that the traffic index, what the how thick the pavement is to be able to handle large heavy vehicles, and if the index to which the road was built can't handle it, then there are maintenance issues that are a concern to the city, that they're saying, gee, maybe we don't want that route or that road to be used in that way because we'll have higher than normal maintenance on those roads.
Consider your truck routes. Do you consider the enforceability of those truck routes from a legal standpoint?
You know, and that is true, and it really comes down to the cost of that enforcement. And you know, we would certainly, all I could answer is yes, we consider that as to our ability to know how the council and what priority that has for the use of enforcement, you know, from the city to do that. You know, I couldn't specifically state. So it may be, again, more cost effective to look at some sort of barrier where you can still have emergency service access, a barrier that actually doesn't, which just redirects access, not necessarily cuts it off. So it's not like you can't get from one place to another, but you can't, now it's not convenient for a truck to use a certain route. Those are the kinds of things we could look at, and we can say, okay, if you do that, then you will not have the maintenance problems necessarily on that road because it was not designed to have that volume. And also, if we're going to designate it as a truck route, maybe signs are cheap now, but the enforcement to really achieve that will be more expensive. Those are the kinds of things that, you know, will be presented and weighed and say, you know, maybe it is long-term or mid-term more cost-effective because we need our police services to be doing other things than trying to watch trucks on, you know, on your street.
I'd like to give you some things. First, with regard to what I've just handed you, I am out down here for a special purpose relating to my property in the south end of Grover Beach in the industrial area. I've had many conversations with the city regarding a circulation element that now exists in the master plan and how we should address that with regard to current conditions. I've left you my card, and I'm hoping that you will get in touch with me to hear from me. With those visual aids and some comments on telephone, I think we can firmly put in your mind what our concerns are there, and it definitely relates to circulation. I'd like to more generally speak on the issue of truck traffic. I happen to have some authority of a sort in this regard, in that I'm one of the major generators of truck traffic in the south part of the Grover industrial area right now. Typically, we have three semi-trucks holding at a given time during the peak of our summer on what are substantially, it turns out, 50-foot right-of-ways with 40-foot streets, not the 70-foot ones mentioned earlier by others, which are typical of that area, as a matter of fact. The problem we have, the thing just discussed was what do we do to discern where we would like our trucks to go and how do we get them to go there. And one of the things that you will find out when you get into your study, if you haven't already encountered it, is that the south, I'd like to use this map over here, the south industrial area, like LM, and this area right here, which is being considered for a more industrial process, and some other land over here that's now being developed, all of this, if you look at it, is absolutely landlocked in terms of its axis going north. It's Briscoe, and turns south to Farrell, and then from there come in. So it looks to me, and you were asking for specific input, and here we are, and I'm the guy that uses it. The answer is Farrell should be considered a truck route. 4th Street definitely should be considered a truck route to the freeway. Both of these have all the objections that have been mentioned here and will be found by you in your report. But the fact of the matter is, if this is going to be industrial, those are the ways to get there. Pretty much that's the case. And I'm recommending that you consider that as the truck elements. Exactly how to exit onto a freeway over at this end is unclear to me, but from 4th Street down is very clear to me. And for out-of-town truckers who come in and want to know how to get there, it's a boon, too. It's very simple to tell them, get off at 4th Street, go till you come to Farrell and so forth. thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Helen MacIver. Speaking of over-length trucks, one of the questions that I have, I will toss to the attorney Kuzanowicz. But as I understand it, there was a law passed that allows cities where the large, long trucks can't make turns on city streets to ban them from that area. I'd like that taken into consideration. This is our attorney here, Mr. Kuzanowicz.
You'll have to look it up, I'm sure.
As far as trucks, they come down Oak Park, and last Friday there was one got hooked up in the palm trees down there trying to turn onto Grand Avenue because traffic would not let him have the necessary right-of-way to come off of Oak Park on Grand. The big truck route is Highway 1. It comes from Los Alamos, Santa Maria, Guadalupe, into Oceana, and on out. That is a big truck. I see that every day, four times a day.
Also on 4th and Grand Avenue, I wrote a letter to the traffic committee in 1999 that the large trucks have to take up the opposite first lane, which would be the opposite turning lane, in order to negotiate the intersection at 4th and Grand. And I wrote this letter in 1999 that said, you know, you've got to beef up that intersection to get these trucks flowing in and out, because it created such a hazard. Every direction that they're turning, it's not big enough. These trucks are just too huge, and it causes a big mess. So what they do is they catty-corner around the residential areas and use them to get their turning radiuses in. So it is a huge problem.
Okay, thank you. I can tell truck routes are important and quite an issue. And they do need to, we need both input. Obviously, we had somebody that owned a trucking business. We need their input. We need your input as well. And the issue is there is an industrial area within your community, and there's going to be trucks in and out of that area. How to best serve it is going to be the difficult balance, because I don't know.
My name's Ken Gross. I live on Ramona Street here in Grover. The problem we're having today is people are turning left on Ramona and going east rather than going through the stoplights at 4th and Grand. Apparently the traffic is so slow and the wait is so long at those stoplights that they'd rather go through a residential area rather than taking the main corridor down through the center of town. Now, the more we slow down Grand Avenue, the worse that seems to get. And it's really hard to live with that kind of traffic. It seems like it's about doubled in about 10 years. Coming by your front of the house every day, it gets worse and a little worse. And it's really a negative impact on that little part of the community because you have a hard time getting out of the driveway before you get run over. So that's the problem we have.
Loretta Dukas, I live on Ramona Avenue. I submitted a letter to the City Council, the Planning Commission, and the Chief of Police. Did you get a copy of that? And it talks about truck traffic.
I just received it this week.
Well, it lists truck traffic on, Ken and I live across the street from one another. And just taking a small sample survey, that it, what he said is exactly right. These trucks are bypassing the intersection and coming down Ramona Avenue, and it has exponentially increased in our neighborhood. If it were one or two, I don't think I'd even pay attention. But it is one after the other after the other. Just on a one-day period, there were eight large trucks on Ramona Avenue and Fifth Street.
Dropping off
nothing. No, the Corona truck did not drop off a bunch of beer at my house. In addition to that, and I've even called a handful of these companies that have their 800 number on the back of the truck, telling them you're supposed to come in on Oak Park, drop off your delivery, and exit through 4th Street. I have a solution for you. Please, you know, heed my request. They're still coming through. So whatever is impeding them, whether there are not enough loading zones along Grand Avenue in front of these businesses, or they're being bottlenecked on Grand Avenue, being slowed down, I see them come to rolling stops through stop signs. They're moving faster on my street than I think they're able to move on Grand Avenue, and that, to me, is a serious problem. These are residential streets. They're building more and more high-density houses. These streets are for the residents, not for commercial truck traffic. Thanks. Anybody
else? Hi, my name's Barry Rogers. We live on Saratoga. And the fellow speaking before about the truck routes, you know, the ones coming down. You know, what he spoke about his arteries are pretty obvious for anyone in the community, I think. But our problem is that, my concern is that this new industrial park down here is that this thing's going to be fed from pretty much from 4th Street to 101, you know, and coming down. And it's like in several, two, three arteries going down to, going to Saratoga, going down Newport, going to other streets. And that's our concerns. Just the last few years, the increase, that there's like heavy, heavy truck traffic on Saratoga to the point we're running 24 hours a day. So there's no telling what might go on from 4th Street coming off of 101. That's the simplest, easiest route. We're all human. You're just going to take the, when we drive someplace, we always take the quickest route, period. That's it. You know, and that's why they're going down Vermont. But they're just doing what's easiest. So that's our concern, is what, when you're looking at things, that there's, they're going through strictly all residential until it hits strictly industrial. Naturally, I've seen the whole thing.
Okay, thank you. All this is very good input. Is there anybody else that has something to share?
I was just wondering, if you look at the speed limits on different streets, any suggestions on changing the speed limits? Or as we repair more and more streets, they seem to be driving faster on these new, beautiful, smooth streets. Does that impact your traffic studies at all, the speed limits?
Yeah, and respond to the speed limits. We're actually not going to be conducting radar survey as a part of the study. But from a policy standpoint, we're going to be looking at different types of characters of streets and establishing policy for types of, you know, speed limits that are appropriate to neighborhoods, to arterial facilities, and things like that. As speeds change, you know that's an enforcement issue. The other is actually to do the proper radar studies, and that takes a fair amount of effort. That's a very specific analysis and study that's really outside of what we're doing here. Yes, ma'am.
In addition to truck traffic, I also would like you to address RV traffic in peak tourism times. Have you RV, recreational vehicles, huge trucks and trailers, but for recreational use. Have you looked at that, or is that something that you can speak to?
I'll get back to you just in response. We talked a little about the seasonal fluctuations within your community. We will be looking at the primary routes for that carry recreational travel, particularly during the holidays and during the summer months and things like that. But in terms of, I think from a policy standpoint, we're going to be looking at, do you want that influx of recreational travel and there's opportunity for, businesses to receive, more business during that time. But there's the downside of where these vehicles are parking and locating and circulating that we have less control. So although we might discuss policy as to how to address that, the ability to control that is going to be really, really hard because sometimes, the person that has that RV vehicle is a friend or a neighbor or a relative that's going down your street to go and visit you or to visit your neighbor or something. And so, to restrict, to develop policy that restricts that kind of access to your neighborhoods is difficult. I think what it is, and it's less controllable than even trucks because we might be used from a traffic control, and that could be signals or stop signs or more physical things like traffic circles or barriers or other types of things. We'll be looking at those kinds of things. And so that's we can look at those as if RVs are finding an alternative route to the beach that's cutting down, Ramona or something like that, well, then we can look at that as a route. But from random RV travel, That's the privilege of living in America and the ability to buy an RV and come to the state beaches. I'm sorry. Yeah.
In establishing the truck routes, can the city also establish weight and size limits
with trucks?
Yeah, we're talking about weight and size limits to put on different roads. Because we understand, certain size and weights, affect if the road is not built to a standard that can carry that, then that's a problem. You'll experience undue wear on that road, and you'll have to rebuild it and things like that, or resurface it more often. So we'll be looking at some types of control, but also and that takes cooperation on behalf of the businesses that have that truck. And then we talked about enforcement. I mean, it needs to be enforced and what the cost of that is. And so those are the things that we're going to weigh versus potential physical improvements that actually can prevent maybe truck cut-through traffic or something like that as well.
The never-ending truck route issue. My biggest concern is not so much for today as 10 and 20 years from now. If we're developing a plan, it has got to work for the future. And when you talk about enforcement, granted, we don't want our officers out there trying to, get enforcement when it should all be designed in the first place. It should be very clear, very concise. An 18-wheeler does not belong on a residential street where you have children playing and people are barbecuing and having a nice, enjoyable afternoon. It should be very clear, very concise, and that's the problem that we're facing now is that we don't have good enforcement. We don't have hard and fast rules. We don't have it written in stone anywhere. Everybody's running all over the place, trying to get everywhere as quick as they possibly can, and it's just a mess. And so that's what I want, is a good, clear, and concise method of getting this commercial traffic and other types of traffic through the city without having to have 200 police officers chasing everybody around the streets.
There is one comment I would like to make here, and I really am kind of glad that I came to this meeting. I've learned a lot from it. The only problem I can see here is I could not find any place in any of the newspapers or posted any place in town where this meeting was being held. And that's, counterproductive.
Well, if you notify the Tribune usually, they'll put something like this in the paper if you get a notice ahead of time.
But on town 20.
My understanding is that the meeting was advertised. And it's true. Martin's pointing out that I did announce it twice at the last two city council meetings.
Point is,
nonetheless.
How many people showed up here tonight?
Okay.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I, in looking to close this meeting, did I forget you? Or okay, is the circulation element is a policy document, and we're going to be looking at the policies of travel, both motorized, and we've been talking a lot about motor vehicular traffic, and a lot about trucks and things like that, but also non-motorized, and then we're going to be looking at establishing policies and setting up some criteria, and we will provide information relative to the use of different techniques that can be applied throughout the city. In terms of, I want to make it clear, we're not necessarily looking at specific applications and saying we're going to put this as a part of the circulation element update, we're going to implement these kinds of things. We can talk about what kind of things might be effective in those locations, and then the actual application may require a more technical, specific study of that particular situation. So I don't want to leave this meeting thinking that, oh, we're going to fix this problem, fix that problem, fix this problem as a part of the circulation element. What we're going to do is we're going to understand what the issues are and make sure that there's appropriate policies and examples of types of techniques of what we talked about. You know, from barriers to traffic circles to address techniques in terms of weight limits and other types of things that you can use for trucks, and then as the issues that'll establish the guidelines and the base policy document from which staff and others can use to say, okay, this is the guidelines that we need to follow, and then here's the specific analysis of this particular problem, and this is the particular solution. Because this is, we can't solve, I mean, we could end up with, 50 or 60, we've different specific problems in specific intersections and roads. And that's not really what this document is in fact doing. But it is going to be provide you the tools and the information and how, and the policy from City Council that'll say, this is how we're going to study it. These are your options, if not more, and how to go about solving your particular problem. And I think they'll be strong enough that they'll address issues of how to handle truck movement, where you do and do not want streets. We could have a policy that says we don't want truck movement on residential streets, okay? And then now we have to figure out how to solve that problem, because I think the community wants the industrial development as a part of their community, because that's a significant part of the tax base that allows this city to function well, okay? But those are the kinds of things. So we got to find reduce the ability for trucks to travel through there via several means of consideration of barriers or stop signs or policies relative to weight limits or whatever we come up with. But those are the kinds of things that will come. So we'll address it in a sense that it'll have specific concepts that can solve, alternative concepts that will solve the problem. But I don't want to leave you with the thought that these are the things that will actually be solutions, that we're going to break this whole process down into little subcommittees that are going to address very specific problems throughout the city. And then we'll be able to use that type of technique that can be applied to other situations in the city if they come up as the community develops and grows. The gentleman talked about how, gee, we didn't have this problem today. But, you know, maybe 5 years from now, we will have a similar Ramona problem at another intersection or another roadway. And those, and we'll hopefully have the policies that will say these are the kind of techniques that it can apply here and solve those problems. Yes, sir.
Why shouldn't Aurora Grande be in on this? Because they're building on Grand Avenue. They have as much traffic as we do. Why shouldn't Aurora Grande be in on this? But their business that they're building there on East Grand, the traffic is used on Oak Park. They're responsible for just as much as we are, not more. They have more traffic. Watch where it goes to. Just go up there and set and watch.
Certainly, when you have contiguous boundaries between jurisdictions of different cities, you know, communication, coordination is vital. We're having to address your circulation element and trying to come up with solutions that can help you within your city. The coordination, you know, is something that has to occur between the jurisdictions as to what's happening. We will account for and consider traffic. We'll account for and consider traffic that's coming into your city from, you know, adjacent jurisdictions, and we'll have to address and deal with that. As to what problems they create, it's difficult for us to control how they develop their property and what impacts they create on your community. Hopefully, through the environmental review process and the opportunity of communities to share and review of environmental documents that are prepared, you can share those concerns and voice them and hopefully, you know, with mutual respect, try to solve those kind of mutual problems between communities. So with that, I'd like to turn it back over to Susan and... Oh, sorry.
Does the circulation element address future maximums when it talks about future businesses? And if there, for instance, Thor's company has 3 large trucks, well, what if there's 10, 15 more companies down in the industrial area and they all have huge trucks? Will the circulation
reporting process, what those impacts will be to the community, and then your planning commission and city council will have to make the decisions as to whether that increase in truck movement that's being generated from that proposed project is acceptable or not. And because the CEQA, which is the California Environmental Quality Act, requires, you know, those kinds of disclosures, that information should be readily available to the public as well as to the council in making their decision as to the appropriateness of new projects and new industry that might come into your community.
Thank you. I could just I'd like to make a quick add to that. The traffic model, correct me if I'm wrong, does take into consideration build out of our current land use designation, our current land use map, so that the ultimate build-out of land designated for residential, non-residential areas is considered, and the traffic generated from those land uses is incorporated into this traffic model.
Yeah, that's correct. But what we do is, because we don't know the specific businesses that are being approved, we're dealing with averages of what we think is reasonable in terms of industrial development that might occur in terms of traffic generation and potential truck movement. If, when specific projects come before Planning Commission and Council, they are out of the norm, then that's what needs to be specifically evaluated as to their appropriateness and their specific impact on the local street system.
Okay, if there's no other questions, I think we're about ready to conclude tonight's meeting. We will be providing background data and more information available to the public in the next couple months. We're hoping to have a draft document prepared by the end of the year, by the end of December, and bring it to Planning Commission for public hearing and environmental review. And we would welcome any more input through email, the mail, phone, any other method of communication you'd like. We haven't scheduled another public workshop. If we feel that there's an overwhelming desire from the community to have another one, we could, of course, accommodate that. But I think at this point, we just wanted to let you know what we're working on, the tools we're considering for including in our circulation element, and wanted to hear you express your concerns on circulation-related issues. Yes, mm-hmm. Helen?
I really think we do need another meeting. We didn't have, I can't see half the stuff up there that I wanted to write down, even if it comes on the internet. I think we need another public meeting that's a little more widely noticed. What I meant in the Tribune, you don't have to advertise in the Tribune. If you call them, they'll put it in to the what's happening in the cities and that. And I think you get a lot more people here because I think once they hear about this and the project and it has started now, I think there will have to be some more public meetings.
Thank you. Thanks. That concludes tonight's open house.
Thank you very much.
Good night.